Right. Hello, welcome everyone. Thank you for attending. So I'm Fernando, I'm a software engineer at Red Hat, and today I'm going to talk about how do we perform link aggregation, balance SLB or source load balancing in kernel space with Network Manager. So just a quick introduction. So you're probably familiar, but it's always good to remember what is link aggregation. So in essence, it's a technique used in networking to bundle multiple interfaces into a single device that acts as a single link. So usually you have ports that are physical links, or there might be VLANs if you have a virtual network. But in this case, for example, you have two NICs and you have a bond, and you could use that bond as an endpoint for your application. And this can be used to have a fault tolerance environment, doing load balancing, and some other operations. And usually these NICs are connected to a switch, or they are connected to a different ISPs, or things like that. So this is usually called bonding in Linux, because it's the driver implementation that we have. And there is also team, but it's mainly bonding. And you have multiple nodes and options, which is what is going to define how it's going to operate and what kind of behavior you're going to get from the bond. We are not going to focus on the options because there are a lot of them. And for our talk, they are not very, very important, but we are going to focus on the modes. So just a quick review. We have around 7 modes officially inside the kernel. So the first one is balanced round robin. As it sounds, it just do round robin, so it goes sequentially picking every port. Then you have active backup. This is pretty straightforward. You have one port that is active. When there is a failover, it switched to another of the ports configured. Then you have Balang XOR. This is a very important one for us because it has a transmit hash policy. So in essence, it do perform load balancing, but it does based on a hash policy that you can define as an option. And the default policy is basically the source MAC address, XOR the destination MAC address, XOR the packet type ID. So with that, you get an identifier of the connection, and you make sure that that connection that matches the hash goes the same way, the same link all the time. Then you have broadcast. Pretty obvious. It's a broadcast, so it transmits all the packets through all the ports all the time. Yeah, and then you have 8023AD. So this is a standard. It's a dynamic link aggregation. And in order to operate, it needs support on the switch side, on the remote switch. Otherwise, it's not going to work. In essence, it does dynamic link aggregation based on the duplex and speed settings on the NICs and other algorithm stuff that can be configured on the switch side. Then we have balanced DLB, which is basically adaptively transmit balancing. So based on the transmit load balancing that the NIC has, it's going to measure it and try to have even load on the different ports. And then we have all adaptive transmit balancing, which is basically the same than TLB, plus it has adapted, it also adapts on IPv4 in the receive transmission. So that's a quick introduction to link aggregation. And now I want to do another important introduction, which is OVS. I'm pretty sure that you have heard about OVS in this room a lot during the day. But in essence, what is OpenBSwitch? So OpenBSwitch is a software switch implementation, which is usually used as a switch into a VMs environment. So you usually have a lot of VMs, and you have OpenBSwitch connecting all of them and doing a lot of operations like bonding, which is also supported. But in this case, OVS and OVS bonding. So OVS bonding only supports 3 modes. LACP, so LACP, it's a protocol that allows the switch to cooperate when you are performing bonding or link aggregation. So it requires LACP support on the switch, in the remote switch. Once the negotiation is done, there is no special treatment for the packet. Then we have active backup, same as the kernel one. It's one port up. When there is a failover, another port comes up. And then we have SLB. So that's an important one for us today. As you can notice, in essence, the two first modes are supported in Link, in Linux implementation, but not SLB. What is SLB? So SLB is the load balancing without the remote switch knowledge or cooperation. And it's basically using a hashing like Palanx XOR, but this hash is based on the source MAC address plus a VLAN pair. So this is usually used in spying leaf situations where you have, when the leaf has multiple VMs inside and you want to perform load balancing between the VMs inside every machine. So what is our goal? As you can see, OBS support this, but Linux kernel doesn't. So we thought that network managers could help here and find a way to implement this in kernel space. This can be useful for situations where you have a system where you don't want to use OBS, or OBS is not available, or maybe you already implemented everything with Linux bridges and bonding from Linux, and you are using some options that are not supporting OBS, and in essence, you don't want to move everything to OBS. The first thing that we need to do is, of course, take a look to the driver in the kernel. So we needed some changes. Initially, we thought that Palanx XOR was the ideal mode for us because it was doing already some, it was doing balancing based on a transmit hash, so it was ideal. But there is no hashing policy that matches what SLB is doing. So we asked for help, and we got some kernel people working into it, and they did the, they introduced a new XMIT hash policy option, which is VLAN plus SRC MAC. And this is what it does is it gets the VLAN ID, XOR the source MAC vendor, XOR the source MAC dev. And if we go to the code, this is indeed quite neat. I hope you can see it, sorry for the color, but in essence what it does is that it gets the source MAC vendor, it gets the source MAC dev, checks if there is a VLAN ID. If there isn't a VLAN ID, it just XOR them. If there is a VLAN ID, it gets the VLAN ID and XOR all of them together. Just that. That's a policy. The rest of the implementation for this bond on kernel was just the netlink bits to be able to configure it and SysFS and all the configuration options. So that should be all. We already achieved balanced SLB, and this is what we thought, but no, that's not the case. We noticed that OBS did an awesome work solving some challenges that we found, and we took a look to how they solve it, and it was impressive. So we started to think on how we could do that. And we thought that NetFit and NFTables is the right candidate to help us here. So let's take a look to the challenges that we found. So first of all, there are two situations where we can get packet duplication. So the first one is when you get a broadcast multicast from the remote switch. So in essence, the remote receives from a non-SLB port a broadcast or multicast packet, and therefore the switch forward it to all the ports in SLB, and then you have in your bonding you have duplicated packages because all of the all those are going to reach the bond. To solve that, NFTable was a good fit because we could redirect everything to the primary port and make sure that the broadcast and multicast, if the connection is already hashed, get you can check if this broadcast or multicast, check if the connection is already hashed, and then send it directly to the primary port. And if it is not the primary port, we could drop the packet. And then another situation is that the broadcast multicast from the bond port. So the remote switch receive a broadcast or multicast packet from SLB port, and it forwards all of them to all other links in the SLB. So you get the same packet again, and you get duplication. Same again. We apply the same technique, NF tables. We check if we hash the VLAN ID and the source MAC. And if we did, and it is not the primary port, we can drop it. And this is, in essence, I think, yeah. So the first thing that we have is we use two sets of NF tables, the MAC set tagged. So if we have a VLAN ID or we don't have a VLAN ID, we use two different sets. So the first set is a combination of the source address plus the VLAN ID, and the second set is just the source address. Then we have three chains. So the first chain is, in essence, just updating if we the sets that we define above, nothing else. The two sets is basically one of them is dropping loop packages and the other packets, and the other one is dropping broadcast packets. So if we look at it in detail, we check if the set already contains the max the combination, and then we do some dropping, and and then on the other one we do basically the same. We check if it is a broadcast or a multicast, and then we drop it. One, if you take a look to it, the first one, the one that is updating the set, is on egress because we want to update when the interface is transmitting, and the other one is on ingress, so we check when the packets are arriving. So we found one more problem, IGMP and MLD. So this is usually used with top-of-the-rack switches. So we noticed that top-of-the-rack switches may prune the multicast tree, and they send, they announce the different multicast group, and so on. And we noticed that there are problems because if the VLAN SRC MAC happens, and the pruned multicast string is sent to a port member where the RX filter will drop it, we will lose the prune. And therefore, we notice that only the primary member port should accept this. Again, NF tables. We created a rule set. It's a chain. Basically, it checks egress, and it checks the EGMP type. Dependent if it checks, it checks membership report, and then send it to the primary port. So in this case, for example, we have this rule for ATH2, which is not the primary, but ATH1 is. So we forward the packet there, and the same for ECMPv6. We check if we have MLD listener, and then we do a forward. By the way, the counters that you might see there is because I was running this in debug in the web manager. So in debug, it adds some counters, so it's easy for us to debug any bug that we might find. Yeah. And we found one more, which was a little bit troublesome. And if you're familiar with leak aggregation, you are familiar also probably with this. So in a leaf, in a spine leaf environment, or architecture, when there is a link failover and you are doing balancing, it's it's very probable that the switch is not going to update the MAC table on time until there is an outcoming connection from the bond, and there is a moment where you lose the connectivity between the switch and the bond for that specific port, and the traffic is not redirected. We found that OBS already fixed it. I'm wondering why we don't do this on kernel. I think I need to talk to some people because this should be doable on kernel. And it will work for all the balance modes. And yeah, so, oh, by the way, this obviously happened if you don't have LACP, because if you have LACP, the switch will coordinate and this won't happen. So we solved this by reading the Linux bridge FTP table, sending a reverse ARP on the link failover event, and we were updating the MAC tables on the switches. So in essence, what will happen is that you have usually this architecture with different VLANs in the bridge, connecting to VNs, for example, or it can be Beth, doesn't matter. Then you have the bond and the two real NICs that is connected to different switches that may or not or may not talk to each other. And then you have something else. In this case, I define the same architecture, but it could be something else. If there is a connection, a string of connection going from link 3 through the switch 1 to link 1, from bond 1 to link 1, and link 1 fails for whatever reason, the bond and the switch 2 doesn't know that it can reach the MAC address of the bond through switch 2. And therefore, the connection is not redirected. It's a little bit cumbersome, but it happens. And we got bug reports that people that were experiencing this. And we initially said, yes, this is supposed to happen. It's a problem in bonding. And they replied, it doesn't happen in OBS. We investigated, and OBS fixed it. So kudos to OBS. So we fixed it. And how we did all of this? So we integrated everything with Network Manager. So we introduced a new bond option in Network Manager, which is called Balance SLB. So in essence, you just need to configure Balance XOR and the transmit policy to VLAN plus SRC MAC, and then this option to Balance SLB 1. When Balance SLB 1 is set to is set in the configuration, Network Manager do two big things. So apart from configuring the bond, that is not a special, it also monitors the link or carrier's status of the different ports. And according to the needs, it modifies the NFTable rule set that I showed before. So if there is, for example, you have your primary, and you are redirecting the EGMP or MLD to the primary, and the primary goes down for whatever reason, the rule set is going to change immediately to redirect the queries to a new primary. And yeah, then basically there's an MCLI command that you can use. So it's just an MCLI connection, a type bond, connection name, whatever, if name, whatever, and the bond options mode balance XOR, XMIT hash policy, balance plus SRC MAC, balance SLB 1. With that, you should be all set. Of course, you need to configure on the other side the ports as you might want, but this is the bond configuration. For simplicity, I don't know if you are aware about what is NMS state, but in essence, it is a command line tool and also with an accompanying library that allows you to perform host networking configuration in any declarative way. So this will be, we integrated it with NMS state. It uses Network Manager as a backend. So this is the configuration that you will apply. And with this, you will have everything set. Of course, notice that here the controller is BR0. And BR0, you should have configured it before. Maybe you don't have a controller, or maybe the controller has a name or whatever. Bonus points. So while we were doing this, we noticed that when updating the NFTable rule set, sometimes we needed to make sure that we clean up the whole table. And for that, we did NFTables delete and try to delete the table for every interface that we have. And we were getting an error. And we didn't understand why until we found out that NFTables delete fails when the object doesn't exist. And that's a problem when you are scripting. So our way to fix this is that we implemented in NFTables a new destroy operation that avoid doing add and delete all the time to avoid this delete problem. So if you are not sure that an object exists in NFTables, now you can do NFT destroy whatever, and it's not going to fail. So for example, you have here NFT destroy table IP and a missing table. It's going to return zero error code. If the table exists, it's going to delete it. If it doesn't exist, it's not going to do anything at all. So yeah, that's an extra contribution that we were able to make. And it was pretty nice that when we did it, we were reached out by other people that it was really useful, and people was looking for something like this before. It was pretty easy to implement, so that's a nice thing. Important remarks. When use connected to OBS Bridge, the link failover issue will be there. And this has main reason is that OBS maintains its own FTP table. So, and right now there is no way that we can read it from the API. So it's only possible to read it with the command line tool OBS app CTL, but not with with OBSDB JSON RPC. So we cannot read it at this point. Also, we think that that's kind of fine because we are expecting that if you have OBS in place, use the OBS bonding because probably it's going to work better together than mixing the Linux bond and the OBS bridge. So yeah, that's the main reason. It's an important remark. The bonding itself will work, but the failover situation will be there. If you don't mind, it's completely fine to use. But again, when using OBS, I personally recommend to use. I'm not an OBS developer or anything like that, but from my experience, everything works better if you use the whole suite as much as you can instead of mixing things. Thank you for attending, and thank you for the organizer. Yeah, thank you very much.